Welcome, everyone. This is Jamie.
And I'm Heather. And you're listening to Soul Archaeology, a bi-weekly podcast where we explore stuff. I don't know.
All sorts of stuff. All sorts of crazy, God. Mixed up, weird, interesting.
Spiritual. Yeah.
Everyday life shit stuff.
Yeah.
And how it all combines and mixes in this soup of evolving,
and we don't have a glossy tagline yet, so
no.
And I'm too, my brain is too fuzzy. Anyway, the point is that today we're going to be talking about the beginning. Like, what did the beginning of this Earth project look like for us? How did we get involved in it? As far as we can remember, this revolves around past life memories and things, research, or not research, but inquiries that we've made of our guides who have then helped us to remember certain things in certain ways. And keep in mind that whatever is true for us may not be true for you. You might have a completely different experience of what we're talking about, which is what makes this all so great.
Yes. And it's also a very non-linear experience for everyone. So don't get caught up on timelines, because there really isn't one. There kind of is. There's dimensional pockets of happenings, and it can be happening all at once. It is happening all at once because it's one is constantly changing what happens in the other space. What happens in one space affects what happens in the other space. So
hashtag entanglement.
Hashtag Ouroboros, hashtag all the things. Mm-hmm. It's a constant cycle, and that cycle is always affecting itself from any point along any timeline which you choose to put your little finger on.
Yeah.
So,
but that's what we'd like to touch on today. We have some interesting experiences, some interesting information that ties into, you know, the Earth eventually had to agree as its own consciousness to descend into shadow, which is the cycle that we've been moving through for the past, 10,000 years? Is that right? Is it 10,000 years of shadow? I don't know exactly what the cycle is. I'm sure that there's some sort of
I'm sure there's a number
correctness there. But once the Earth decided to shake hands with that descent, that's when we ended up on the 3D timeline. Slowly but surely, there was a transition, because I think both of us would agree that when we sort of shook hands with this project, it was definitely a higher dimensional existence. Mm-hmm. On the planet at that time. That doesn't mean it was a war-free, argument-free, polarity-free existence. The one thing that you can depend on about Earth is polarity. That's the circulatory system of Earth.
Sure.
You're not gonna find a timeline on Earth where there is no light and shadow, there is no right or wrong. It's just going to be a different intensity.
And just a different perspective, a different version of that, with different kind of energies at play. For anybody who is wanting to spend any amount of time kind of like deep diving this particular subject, this like particular portion of information, I will say probably where you can find the most information like written is going to be kind of very early developing spiritualism text. Some of the people in the early to mid 1800s that were kind of on the path of studying the cosmos and spirituality. That's kind of where a lot of that's where a lot of this type of thing is written down. And I'm trying to look. I'm looking in my stack of books right now to see if I can find like the one in particular that I refer back to a lot, which is, Rudolf Steiner. But he's not the only one that wrote down quite a lot. He just happens to be one that I know of that wrote a pretty complete, like, from his knowledge and experience and his connections and his searching his own kind of space. And this at this point in time, this would have been very early, like, combinations of the scientific community, philosophy, all of those things kind of coming together at the beginnings of the forming of spiritualism as a particular pathway. A lot of people were just doing writing at that time to try to explain it all. And not that I think any one of them is particularly 100% correct, which would be hard to do in any case. But you're going to get a lot of different perspectives that are probably a lot deeper of what you would find now. Like from a, like if you wanted any type of science attached to it, not that I think that they're science is 1000% correct, but it's an interesting take on that. Like the book in particular, and it's hard to find, that I'm looking at is called Cosmic Memory, or Cosmic Memory, Atlantis and Lemuria by Rudolf Steiner. And this was originally written, oh lordy, let me see if I can even find the original publication. Like it was written far before it was actually like published. Like the earliest publishing date I can find on this one in particular, the way this particular anthology of some of his writings were put together was like 1959, but he was gone by then, I think.
So you're essentially suggesting writings that speak of this spiritual narrative of Earth's origin, or this timeline of Earth's origin, grounded into sort of more of a 3D realistic approach.
Yeah, grounded into more of a trying to explain it in a more scientific way with philosophy backing it up. Like if you want to know like what kind of energies were at play when, like he kind of dives into that. And I feel like it's interesting. It's not necessarily a fun read. It's very dry because it is very like sciencey based. And then all of a sudden you'll like devolve into this like more spiritual context, which is interesting. But, you know, if you're that kind of researchy nerd, that would be some text that I would suggest to see if it jogs anything inside of you. And that's really what I would say any type of reading is meant to do. If it's coming from someone else, even us talking here, all this is meant to do is to rattle something inside you to either say, oh, I resonate with that, or I don't know if I resonate with that. And if it's a, I don't know if I resonate with that, then it's a prompt to question yourself, what do I resonate with? Or what did that look like for me? This is all a game and prompting you to get in touch with yourself and your own discovering of your place in this place.
Totally.
Period, the end.
So important, because I think a lot of people intake information, especially the way that we've been trained and indoctrinated in our society, they intake this information and they feel immediately that they have to react to it. They have to say, yeah, no, no, no. And the urgency comes from the fact that we're not trained to look at these things, other people talking or information that's written or information that's produced in some sort of entertainment way. We're not given permission from a young age to look at that with discernment, our own discernment. Our own discernment is not validated from a very young age. We are told, do as I say, and sometimes not as I do. You know what I mean? We get mixed messages from a very early age. So when you're on the lookout for things that resonate, you first have to figure out what resonance is. You first have to sort of untrain yourself from that really deep indoctrination of, I have to assert my judgment upon this immediately, or I might be controlled by it.
Or I have to follow as everyone else is doing the way they're doing it. It's funny because my husband and I were out with a couple friends yesterday, and we happened to be having a conversation about their kids, and their kids are really young. And one of their sons' teachers is an older teacher, apparently like in her late 70s or early 80s, but teaching incredibly young children.
Wow.
So their son is like, I want to say he's around 6 or 7. So we're talking, you know, those early stages, right? And the teacher kind of came to them and said, you know, your son has, he kind of wants to do things his own way, huh? And they were like, yeah. And they're very creative people. And she is a teacher. So, you know, husband's very creative. They're a very creative couple. She's also a teacher. So these children are not, you know, they're not without any kind of direction at all, but they are given a lot of free rein as far as what they choose to like involve themselves in, like the kind of activities they do and the kind of things that they want to participate in. And apparently one of their sons was just having, according to the teacher, a difficult time kind of following along in class in the way that the teacher would like them to. Basically said to her during a parent-teacher conference, you know, sometimes it's not about what they want to do, but what they need to do. And, you know, really sometimes what they need is what I'm showing them to do and, you know, and how I would like the classroom to be run. It's like, you know, lady, those are your expectations. Not that has nothing to do with him or his upbringing or development or anything. That's all about you and the life that you've settled into and what you are comfortable in your class, the way you want your day to go. And the reason why you're probably still doing this at the age you are is because these are very moldable individuals and it suits you best to have the energy of very moldable people around you doing what you're asking them to do. It's like, yeah. Which is not going to be helpful to my child in the future. So that's nice that you have that opinion, but that's your opinion. And my son can continue to do whatever he wants to in your class. And it's like, you know, like she was asking like, what is he into like outside of class? And she was like, well, he's in dance right now. He's really enjoying that. And she's like, oh, well, little boys at that age don't really do dance. What? You know what they really like? Basketball. Basketball is really good because they get to be on the team. And she's like, No, that's not his space at all.
That planet doesn't exist anymore. That timeline collapsed years ago.
So it's interesting that we're having this conversation because I feel things like that really do play into what we're talking about. The Earth has been through so many different evolutions and humans have been through so many different evolutions. And I think where we started from was such a, or where we have recollections and experiences as far as like where we started with this project are so vastly different from where we are now. Like things still apply, but kind of looking at that perspective of where we started versus where we are now.
I think the most interesting thing, we said interesting at the same time. Anyway, I think the most interesting thing about looking at where we're at now is because I heard in my head while you were speaking, there's always some kind of cohesiveness between the varying timelines that we're constantly shifting between. If you've ever heard Bashar talk, Bashar is an energetic collective channeled by Daryl Anka. If you've ever heard him speak, then you've probably heard that time doesn't work the way we think it works. We as individuals shift many thousands of times per minute or per second or whatever it is. And we shift our focus into a new timeline every instant. So we are constantly shifting timelines. We are moving. Our perspective, our consciousness is moving through various timelines. And those timelines have to be, to a degree, cohesive enough for us to access them because we can only focus on so much at the same time. And that's essentially how we – that's how we motor through time. That's our vehicle. This is our vehicle, and everything is constantly happening around us, all things, and we are choosing what to focus on, essentially. And I just think it's interesting that I completely forgot what was interesting about that. What is with me today? Oh my gosh, I'm a disaster.
Well, first of all, it's early. So, you know, we can always give some pardon for that.
But what
I was just thinking was that we are super processors.
Yeah.
As humans.
Yeah.
We are super processors. That is literally part of the assignment, if you will, while we are here, is to process massive amounts of information, experiences of all sorts, whether that be like interpersonal relationship experiences with the external world, experiences with the earth, experiences of you name it. We're constantly processing that all the time. And in order to do that, there has to be some sort of way for us to file those things so that our little brains don't explode. We're constantly doing this process of sorting through information. And depending on who you are, your personality, what your particular directive is for that moment that you have chosen within yourself, you are filtering out what is important and what is not important. Just think about all of the things that you're taking in visually, all the things that you're taking in audibly, and then combining all of those things. If it wasn't for the timeline that we created for ourselves, literally we would be in a million pieces. We wouldn't be the walking flesh beings as humans that we are, that we recognize, because we're really not. On a energetic level, we are not the flesh body that we see each other as. The things around us are not the tangible, solid objects that we see them as. We are choosing this as a moment, as a space to slow things down and process them in a way where we can investigate from this very kind of narrowed perspective. And that is something that has been beaten into my noggin since I've been on like very early portions of this journey. Like the whole concept of you had to slow down, you had to have a linear timeline of some sort to identify with so that you could slow down long enough to be in a space, in a particular space, long enough to really study it and come up with a perspective on it. Otherwise, we're doing what we had done before, which was just very freely being those super processors, but on a level that we don't connect with as humans. You know, that thought of instant manifestation of I think of something that I want or need or desire, and it's done. It's already done. Which is very true in a celestial space and not at all true in this 3D version of us, which is why we get so anxious and aggravated and irritated when things kind of don't fall in place the way we would like them to or don't pan out the way we had envisioned it, you know, when we have expectations and things happen that are outside of those expectations, it's very disappointing. And I feel like that is why, is because there's always that part of us that remembers what it was like to just blink and it's done. And when we're here, it's not like that. So yeah, that can, you know, that's one of those hard parts of being human. However, the nice thing about that is that you actually get to explore and appreciate all the things that humanity has to offer, which is a lot different from that celestial space, getting to actually explore individuality, exploring the thoughts and emotions and connections that are more of a one-on-one. That is not something that is really possible in those other planes of existence. That's right. Just not how life works there.
Right. And the whole point, in short, the whole point of Earth is to allow us a more focused, more niche, slower interaction with all of the creative energies that we, in a way, I imagine, take for granted when we can just access them without even thinking about it. Like just manifestation happened, you know, and this allows us to appreciate, maybe not in the moment, maybe not until you've left the body and you have full access to comparison in those moments afterwards where you're like, oh yeah, right. I'm an infinite powerful creature who can manifest at the drop of a hat. Not that slow, lumbering, sad, frustrated person that I thought I was. I'm sure at that moment there's like an incredible nexus of comparison that happens. And if you're on the other side or you're on this side, you're not going to have access to that moment.
But I also feel like that's what this next big evolution and shift is helping with, is combining those two perspectives. Those are two very different perspectives that have been held separately, very separately for a very long time, even though we as energies, as individual energies, have always had those within us. We are not separate. Those ideas are not separate, except in our perspectives, and holding them separately for a reason of either not yet having the ability to let those things combine, or keeping them separate to, again, like continue on that mission of something very specific where we need to hold them separate in order to have that particular experience.
Yeah. And that's what my actual point of view on how this all started. That's where it starts, is that when we initially came down here to sort of join this project, we did so in order to consciously play in that slower space. But it wasn't slow like it is now. It's changed. It's evolved over the years because it descended into shadow, and it had to, because as we came into the planet as extraterrestrial beings or galactic beings, and we came to settle here and sort of like shake hands with stepping out of our ability to do things more quickly, more easily. And there had to have been a transition at that point. And that transition was, we went from maybe 5D down into some sort of crossover fourth dimensional space that allowed us to still access what we as humans today would maybe consider superpowers. But for that time, it was just normal. And so that's how I see what we're going through now, is just the reverse of that, where the Earth descended over time into shadow because we decided that we wanted to play with slower, denser, darker, more shadowy aspects to explore those. And it was always from a space of playing a game. But we tend to forget, because there is a veil which is thinning and lifting now, but the veil was descending then. And as the veil descended, that's how we became so serious. That's how everything became so real. That's how we forgot our origins. So now that it's lifting again, we are able to access that knowledge.
And the other part of that is that through that process, and again, part of this commitment to being in a slower space is about compassion and growing compassion and growing a sense of love. Because when something like compassion or love is inherent, which I think as celestial beings, there is a certain level of inheritance in those qualities, but they're not appreciated and they're really not seen or felt or delivered in a way that's really feeling. Like, I think we were kept from feeling things. And when you slow things down, you have the opportunity to really sit in that energy and absorb it and take it in, and you're spending time with it. And that's what feeling is when you're not able to fully, when you're not able to fully process it, when it's happening so quickly that you're just moving by it. And unfortunately, that's an aspect that we've spent a very long time as humans still sitting in, that aspect of, I'm not going to process that now. I'm going to push that to the side. We'll deal with that later because I have shit to do. I have a busy day ahead of me and I'm just going to.
Well, and that's what was coming to my mind as you were speaking was, ironically, and perhaps maybe not ironically at all, we've created a society that doesn't allow us time to process. We, with our technology, we've made things move so fast that now it's coming to the point where the powers that be / soon to be were are, not allowing us to process. They're taking those rights away, or they're attempting to. And it's that that is catalyzing further this rising up into a new dimension, because we as people on the planet are banding or starting to band together to say, this is not right. I do not accept this. Whereas before, you know, just in the 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s, and even into the 80s, it was all about, what can I do to get to where I want to go? Agree, agree, agree. Say yes, overwork, overpay. Inflation, I guess that's just the way it is. Now people are banding together through social media platforms like TikTok and boycotting corporations, because we realize that, hey, if we don't stand up now, we're going to lose our human rights. But it had to come down to threatening our human rights, our freedoms, in order for us to really start doing that. And honestly, it didn't come down to just that. It appears that way. But what's really happening is the energy on the planet is rising to the point where it's supporting our unification. Before, we didn't have the foundation to support wide-scale, large-scale unification. And so when you see things like this happening on social media, you may say, oh, well, it's because we now have social media and that enables us to speak more clearly to one another. But it's also, it is a yes and. It is not only that we have social media, but we have social media because the energy supports this unification, this move towards unification. It cuts both ways.
It's a long process of now taking something that's been established, that was established for a particular purpose, maybe in the beginning, from a space of maybe not unification, but simplification. In the beginning, to make it easier to do something, or to make something more profitable, or to make to create a space where there was profitability out of seemingly thin air, being able to commercialize something by gathering enough people together in one spot where people could go, oh, if I can put everything on this platform and then invite the people in, you know, that can actually profit from this, this will be a really interesting way of turning the tides on something that used to be like sitting down and watching television and getting commercials. But now we're getting it on our feeds instead. And that was a very enticing and attractive idea, maybe in the beginning, and maybe something where the creators of certain platforms would have banded together over that being an initial kind of like win for them is, oh, we're going to do this slowly over time and they won't even realize it. And they're so indoctrinated to that type of thing already happening that once we do start employing those things, it's not really going to matter because they're just going to shrug their shoulders and go, oh, this was kind of like when that used to happen a long time ago, but whatever. I'll just keep on going and using my little platform and interacting because now I've grown used to it and I like it. But now we're in a space where we've made certain choices. We've made certain decisions as humans where our humanity is actually important to us. And there are certain aspects to our humanity that we want to explore more than that shadowy side. We want to explore more of, well, what happens when humanity bands together? What happens when we actually stand shoulder to shoulder as humans and broadcast what's actually important to us and support one another in those efforts? Like, what happens then? Then what happens to that other energy? Do we then get to take back something that was created as a way of kind of holding us in a pin, holding our attention towards a very specific and directed goal? And then we're now bending and shifting that with our own will. This is where that whole free will business is kind of starting to inch up to the foreground, where it's like, oh, I do have an opportunity. I do have decisions to make. I do have things that I can enforce in my own life. I just have to be willing to stand in this particular place and be firm in how I want it directed. So yeah, those tides are shifting. We're starting to, I think I spoke last time about how this particular energy that's rising that we often identify with a more feminine energy is kind of bending and softening the hard corners. And it's really interesting in my mind right now, as I'm talking, I'm envisioning this very visual version of what I'm talking about, which is actually showing a very squared off box, okay, that we've created as a society that we had agreed to for a portion of time, now having curves, and that curvature is bending energy and frequency in a new direction.
Right. The word that they used, the word that they popped into my head was creating a lens. It's a new lens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A new lens is going to just, like, imagine the sun pouring through a lens. It's going to focus that beam in a new direction when you shift it. So that's exactly what's happening. And it's funny too, because as I was getting ready to do this with you today to record, just like I do every time, I'm sort of going around the house, sort of taking care of things that I need to take care of so that I'm prepared for after recording. And while I'm doing that, of course, I'm talking to my guides and about the show, and kind of not even aware that I'm doing it at this point. It just kind of happens. And what they were telling me was, and I didn't realize they were telling me this at the time, I thought it was just my brain meandering. Like, sometimes I can't tell what it's them until things start to unfold and my brain starts railing against what's unfolding because it thinks it should be a different way. That's when I realized the guides had been giving me a message, right? Mm-hmm. So the message that they were giving me was, you have to remember that you are going to choose a jumping off point for this podcast, and then the real messages are going to start coming through.
Sure.
So as we're talking about this, I'm like, we're not talking about what we said we were going to talk about. We're not. I had a certain idea of what it was supposed to look like in my head about the stories of how Earth became the Earth that we know it, and how creatures became, you know, like, and it tied into Bigfoot. It was going to be so cool, and it was going to be so focused. And the very first thing that happened when we started the show was my brain sort of went to mush and I was incapable of focusing, and I just had to let whatever needed to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating, but that's what we're all being asked to do right now. Wow. Okay. Oh, no. So they just started giving me messages about the eclipse. I just posted one today and they started putting me on that path. I 10 out of 10 do not care about the eclipse. Like, human Heather is just like, I don't know, it's going to get dark and then I'll get light. Who cares? You know, but everybody's kind of freaking out about it on social media. And so I just didn't have any questions. I've never resonated with astrology or anything, but they've started giving me messages about the eclipse. And the thing that they were just telling me in my head, the reason I'm experiencing all of this sort of all over the place thinking and like unable to focus and just allow whatever needs to happen, is the message for this eclipse, because it's going to get soupy. It's going to get disorganized. it's going, there's the energy is going to come with its own brand of chaos. I don't know what that means other than what I'm experiencing during this recording, which is I want to go in a certain direction and I don't seem to have the ability to focus enough to get there. And that is okay. It has to be okay with us that we can't get there from here. We have to explore that.
So what I have experienced multiple times over, as far as experiences as a human, experiences, you know, kind of revisiting past life space as different energies, be it celestial or human or a full mixture, very right down the middle of both, is that as we pass through these different highs and lows of different kind of energetic surges, as we're navigating these different bands of frequency and deciding what we want, what frequency, what wave we want to surf on or not, these are the kinds of experiences that we will end up having, because it is, like we've talked about before, it's a tempering process. So part of the eclipse season and some of the weirdness, I guess, that as a human entity, we experience in our day-to-day lives during an eclipse season is the fact that we are kind of relenting and releasing a little bit of our control to the Earth's processes. So just like we go through our particular shifts as an individual human experiencing an individual 3D life, the Earth is also an entity that is also navigating experiences. And when we see something like that, that is an external offering of whatever the Earth is going through at that moment in their process, which that process also aligns back to our daily lives. So we're seeing a culmination here of us coming up to a certain point and going, okay, this is where we're at right now. And the Earth is going, okay, I see that for you. And I'm raising you this particular Earth side of that experience. And this is what I'm showing. And this is how I'm helping to mold and bend. You know, we're, from our perspectives, our lens is starting to be created. We're you know, creating that curve, which is creating a focus, because you bounce light off of a box and it goes blah, kind of everywhere. You put it into a curved surface, it goes blah, and it kind of splats instead of coming back with any sort of focus. You put light into a curved space and it kind of comes together and then creates a very focused beam of light. That's how our vision works. That's how our eyes work. So the Earth is doing that for itself. Like through that eclipse, it's taking something very broad spectrum, and now we're helping to create a lens. And it might be brief. You know, the eclipse only lasts so long. It's very minuscule in our particular version of time and space. But it's doing the same thing for the planet as we've been doing for ourselves. And that's always going to cause a little bit of friction, because it's yet another adjustment that we have to make. Just when we kind of get solid in our own little energetic spaces and we're like, okay, I'm comfortable right here. Then something else comes along and goes, okay, but on top of that, I'm going to layer this particular energy from this thing. And now you're going to have to incorporate that into your little space that you've just created. So sorry, we're going to rearrange your furniture for a minute.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get the opportunity to kind of have a rebuttal and go, okay, well, I like where you placed that chair, but that picture is all wrong. So we're going to have to do a little bit of redecorating. But that's the conversation that you have with, you know, with yourself, with your own little human energy combined with your earth space. These are two, there's an internal and there's an external, and those things always will coexist. As long as we keep raising our hands to say, yes, I want to do this experiment. Part of that experiment is always going to be, how do we marry that internal experience, that internal energy, with the external energy? And that is a very, very, very big part of this, the evolutional space that we have been in, and the new space that we are stepping in is coming closer and closer to a balance point, a real balance point, with that inner emotional stuff that we've been carrying, the memory of the celestial experience that we've been carrying that has been locked down, and we've been slowly releasing through coded energy in different ways in our experience externally to kind of marry that back into that very earthbound space. We're coming into a time when those things are going to coexist in a much more balanced and kind of smooth state, but it takes going through all of those bumpy transitions along the way. Like, there's always going to be bumpy transitions. Don't expect that to just erase completely. There's always going to be something kind of sticky and uncomfortable that you're going to have to move through, because that's just how you smooth out those spaces. That's just how it's done.
Chaos required.
Chaos is always going to be required.
Yeah.
That is just a requirement. And it's, and you know, it's honestly a requirement whether you are choosing a human experience or a celestial experience. There's always chaos. Chaos is always involved.
There is, yeah.
That is something that you can always count on.
Yeah, for sure. Because chaos is the builder. It's the destroyer and the builder. It's neutral.
Well,
chaos is. Chaos is not something to be judged. It's just something to be surrendered to.
Chaos is a harsh word that we've assigned a lot of imaginary attributes to.
Yeah.
Chaos is just a mover.
Exactly.
It's a catalyst.
Yes.
It's a way to keep things rolling along.
But humans don't like catalysts.
No. I'm first to raise my hand. Don't like it.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, do not recommend. But I understand and appreciate it. I just don't like it very much, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I can state my case and go, "You know what? Shadow. I'm here to play with it, but it sucks."
Yeah.
It's not my bestie.
Right.
I don't willingly send out an invitation to Shadow most of the time. Occasionally I do, but most of the time when I'm filling out my invitations to the party, I am not consciously sitting down and addressing one to Chaos.
And then it shows up
and Shadow.
It's big cloak with its staff and its crow, and it gives the child a gift too.
And you're like, what are you doing here?
I did not invite you.
I don't remember sending out an invite to you.
This is going
to
be a lovely
you show up at my door?
Party, a lovely christening, and you showed up with your big blackness.
Your big dark energy and your crow that's just going to shit over everything. Thanks a lot.
Right?
Yeah. And it just nods its little head and says, "You're welcome." And takes its place. It's probably going to sit in your seat. It's not going to apologize for it. It's going to eat something and spit it out all over the table because it doesn't like it.
This is derailed.
It's going to do all of those things. But, you know, it's good to have those visuals and kind of sit with the idea that, look, there's always that one energy that shows up that you're like, ugh. Why you? like my day would go so much smoother and nicer and better if this particular energy was not involved.
But by the same token, recently anyway, and I never trust that anything is going to be the new normal. I stopped depending on that a long time ago. It's foolhardy. But recently, the normal has been a combination. I've noticed a combination in, how do I say this? So the evolution for me has been less procrastination. And as a result of less procrastination, I have been seeing a much softer shadow.
Sure.
Makes sense. But the point is that if you can tap into, and the way I tapped into this, I've said it before, but for anyone who hasn't heard it, the way I tapped into this transformative process is to ask my guides, my team, your spirit guides, your gods, your whoever it is you are working with, your higher self, you know, it could be all about you. It doesn't matter. Whatever energies, ethereal, spiritual energies you are working with that are helping guide you through this experience, because we all have them, start asking them to inspire you. Start asking them to inspire your actions towards your highest preferred potential. That's the exact way I word it all the time. And I didn't start out wording it that way. That's just how it evolved for me. But when you ask for inspiration, there is an automatic built-in wanting to do something. It used to be 10 years ago, I would literally drag my feet to pay my bills, even though I had the money sitting in the account. I didn't want to do it. I couldn't tell you why. It always ended up in some sort of punishment with a late fee or something. And then I felt like a crappy person and like I couldn't adult. And what's my freaking problem? Why can't I just do this thing? And now it's like that doesn't happen anymore. It's just I don't even think about whether or not or when I'm going to pay my bills. It just happens. And it's not because I created a new habit. It's because I worked through the block that was preventing me from doing it before. I wasn't just being stubborn. I wasn't just being immature. There's a reason behind the stubbornness and immaturity, and I needed to figure out how to get beyond that. Unfortunately, there's no real easy 3D explanation as to how that happened, although I will tell you that I started looking at late fees as convenience fees instead of punishment. So it took the power out of that entity, that external entity's hand, and put it back into my hands. In other words, when you pay your credit card late, they charge you a late fee. Then you feel like a bad person because you could have just paid it on time. And now you're being punished. I took it from that to, you know what? I'm not paying my credit card on time. I'm going to pay a convenience fee. And all of a sudden, it was my choice without punishment. I took the ability for something external to punish me out of the equation. Nothing externally changed. This was all an internal process. And you need to know that it's all an internal process every and all times.
It's a perspective shift, which is also an attitude shift. Mm-hmm. It's not that you didn't allow shadow into the party. It's that instead of immediately rolling your eyes, you invited shadow in. You showed it where its seat is at the table. You took a little bit of control over the situation. You kind of leaned over, nudged shadow, said, hey, what's happening? And what can I get for you?
I managed
it. It's like, do you need a soda? Mm-hmm. Here's a soda. Mm-hmm. And what that immediately does is disarm shadow. Shadow mm-hmm. doesn't know what to do when you take control. Shadow kind of goes, okay. And becomes more of the static than what's in control. Because your perspective on that, that shadowy piece shifted. You took a little bit of its darkness away. Mm-hmm. You shined a little bit of light on it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it kind of recoiled and went,
yeah,
I don't know what to do.
Well, it doesn't live in that environment. Once you shed light on it,
you took some of the power away.
Yeah. You take most of the power, if not all of the power away, because it can't be shadow if it's in the light.
Well, and let's shift this a little bit. It's not so much that you took power away from shadow. You brought power to yourself.
Yes.
Which immediately diminishes the kind of weight that you previously gave to shadow.
Yeah.
It's like you were giving shadow a particular energy of fear of, mm-hmm. this thing is coming in and it's going to crap all over everything. It's going to ruin my day. And then you said, you know what? Here, here's your place. Here's where you get to sit. And I'm here for you. Tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. But I'm in charge here. This is my party. Mm-hmm. This is my house. This is my space. And you're invited. But you get to occupy the space that I give you. And I'm only going to give you this much space in my day today.
That's empowerment. And that's what we're all here to do. And now we've reached a point where enough of us have done this work to where it is really having an effect on our external environment. We are now, mm-hmm. we are just now starting to see the incredible effects that our work is having. And that's exciting because it's been a lot of years that we've been doing this and not seeing results. And of course, we've been seeing some kind of results, but really, we haven't on a large scale yet seen the results of our individual journeys. And now that's starting to come together. And that's super exciting because it means Earth is truly, we're going to start to see the ascension now in our reflected back to us in our external environment. We have cleared enough of the old crap out in order to make way for the work that we did maybe 5 or 10 years ago to show up in our collective environment.
Yeah. And it's not even that it's crap. It's just that it's something that wasn't necessarily serving our purpose as being the creative forefront of this particular venture for ourselves. If I kind of dial back to some of my earliest experiences with this planet and humans and the human experience, probably one of the first things that I experienced was a major upheaval in my celestial space that I have to keep reminding myself to the players involved at that time. Everything that was happening was neutral. I took a particular perspective of feeling. I actually slowed myself down and got into a space where I had feelings about what was going to be happening in this Earth experiment to these human entities. And from what I was experiencing from those surrounding me, it didn't sound very fair. It didn't sound very balanced. It didn't sound like these energies that were doing a service to the rest of the galaxy, the rest of the universe, it didn't feel like they were going to have many opportunities because it felt like the other powers in play were taking it upon themselves to direct the whole show. And it's like, well, that doesn't seem like a thing that should happen if they're going to give of their selves and relinquish their part in this world, then it seems like they should have the same opportunities to have a say in what they do. And it sounds like you're not willing to give them that. And I don't like that. And that was kind of my first deciding, I think I'm going to need to go play in this Earth School thing.
That was the beginning of your human individuation.
Yeah.
That's how it begins.
I'm having feelings about this. I'm having a reaction to what you're doing, and I don't know that I like it. It doesn't feel good. Like, I'm having feelings in my own energetic space that is not the usual unified, I agree, let's do it, let's, you know, band together and make it happen, kind of a no, I think I want to jump from this ship and go join this ship over here. And then even some of those early experiences were filled with, okay, well, there's this faction over here that looks like they're really trying to build things together. And then there's this faction over here that feels like one side is telling the other side what to do. And the other side is just going, okay.
Which honestly was my experience with before Earth. Like, I have past life memories of galactic wars looking just like Earth, just with different technology. And I was adiosed by the powers that be because my mouth was too big. I was ruining their agenda. So there's agenda, and this was in the Pleiades. So I was sent off from the Pleiades. And everybody on Earth, you know, these days, most people's experience of the Pleiades is very romanticized and, oh, it was so lovely. And the Pleiades are our guides and they're here to help. And it's very namaste, yoga studio sort of perspective. But my experience of the Pleiades was them motherfuckers. Those fucking assholes. I got a bone to pick with you, you know. There was stuff I needed to work through when I started accessing those memories. And I firmly believe that I was working in tandem with Pleiadian guides at the time. That's when I was working with the Federation of Light. And I know that there were Pleiadians on the team going, oh gosh, this is where it's going to get interesting. Like, how do we get her over this hump? Because yes, that's true, but you have to also see the neutrality of it all. And you have to appreciate that that was just another drama playing out on another level where drama was sort of what we all agreed to, you know, and that was your role in the drama. And you have to come to some sort of terms with the fact that you were maligned before you ever became human. You were the reason I became human, as far as I can remember, is because I thought maybe they'll get the fuck off my back. Boy, was I wrong. But I thought maybe I'll have a new space to play in. Maybe it'll create more room for me, narrowing my focus. And as far as I can tell, being who I am in this life, I look for more and more ways to get into detail, to really dig into the nitty gritty, to delve into that depth. I cannot have a proper shallow conversation. If you paid me, I could not succeed at having a proper conversation about the weather. At some point I would check out. And I need that depth. It's part of my soul makeup. So it does not surprise me at all the stories that unfolded as I started to realize who I have been and what I have experienced, because all of them are geared towards the same direction. And that to me is the blueprint of my soul. I am a depth seeker. I want to know how it all works. I want to know the origin point of everything. Where did it come from? Where did it start? Where are the roots that we need to pull out in order to see change? That's what I do. It's what I do in my work. It's what I do with my friends when they're having issues in their lives. It's who I've always been. I was born that way. So I know that that's a part of my soul makeup.
And I know that part of my soul makeup is to allow the space, is to help create a space where it is allowed for those individual energies to be just as powerful. Like I remember, I have the knowledge, the internal, this is how it happened, of Source saying, I want to experience. And that kind of, that's what I call the whoosh, is that explosion of all those different fragments of Source, then going into their various directions and breaking apart into their own little fragments and their own little, you know, colonies of energies. I have always felt that just as Source was an amazing creative energy as one singular thought process, that it is just as powerful, if not even more powerful and amazing and creative, as all of those fragmented pieces, having that same level of experience where they all get to act as actual individual pieces of Source and see themselves, experience them, their own energy as, oh, I am a fragment of Source energy. Therefore, I am a powerful creator. I get to make decisions. I get to have experiences and feelings, and I get to look at other fragments with this kind of you know, awe and like, wow, that individual also gets to do those things. And we're all equal. We all have balance. I came from that space. And it's been my mission ever since to kind of hold enough space and create a bridge and a foundation where those pieces can have that kind of experience. So I feel like we've been going through, you know, wave after wave of, we have to figure this out for ourselves. You have to get to a space. You have to go through the journey in order to land at a place where you can recognize and actually really see yourself. And I think that particular journey is just really slow when you're in this earth space, when you're on this earth school. It's a very slow lesson. And you have to go through many, many experiences before you get to a point where you're like, oh, I'm actually really important. It's really important that I express what my desires are as this particular energy. And I think, you know, we go through ebbs and flows, and we're just in a space now where it's actually supported more from an external space that, hey, you can have that. It's okay for you to have that. It's okay for you to want that, because I think we've gone through a lot of iterations of this particular experiment where it hasn't been okay to even desire that. Desire to be an individual, desire to have creative autonomy over your own energy. It's been very much a, just go along with it. It'll be easier. Just go along with what it, here's how we're, the map has already been created. You're just trying to get to this point. Just find the straight line and make it happen. And unfortunately, that straight line does not allow for a whole lot of experience in between. The journey is very short. And so the experiences aren't giving you enough information and feedback to create something that's more well-rounded with enough perspective to where you can eventually look down on your own energy and say, wow, look at all of that. Look what you've accumulated. Look what you've accomplished. That's really amazing. That's a very powerful place to be standing in. Now, what do you want to do? What's next?
That's this
wonder
life.
And excitement.
Yeah, that's this life. This is why this life is different from all the others. There was a reason that we didn't have lifetimes that allowed us that exploration. It's because there were other collective agreements that needed to be accomplished in order for us to get to this point. So we needed those, as Dolores Cannon called them, digging potatoes lives, in order to support with our energy just being incarnated on the planet. That energy mm-hmm. was going towards a collective goal that we were not consciously aware of, because the energy of the planet did not support that conscious awareness to begin with. And so in order to get us and our planet to a point where it would support that conscious knowing of a collective agreement, we had to agree to many, many, many lifetimes where we were just sort of little worker bees working towards a normal run-of-the-mill life and a common goal. It's not that those normal lives didn't give us fodder for our own creative mills that would eventually land us here, but they weren't enough in and of themselves to foster or support an entire world awakening, which is what we're seeing now.
So it's funny, because the visual that I just got was a visual of, imagine, if you will, a farmer deciding, this is the crop that I want to see. I want to plant X, and I'm going to plant it right here where I am. And that is the beautiful crop that I want to see grow. Well, that's fabulous. But if you happen to be in a season or in a particular space or location where the soil is not yet ready to receive that particular seed, and the environment isn't such that that seed can grow, guess what? Bumpkus is right. going to happen. Yeah. A whole bunch of nada. And that's going to be very disappointing. And that's probably going to make you not want to try that thing again for a very long time. Mm-hmm. It's going to sour you. And you're going to go, fine. Then whatever Johnny next door planted, and he got his crop, then I'll just do that.
Right.
Because that I guess that's what you do. But that's not what it was saying. What it was saying was, look, you had a great idea. I think that's fabulous. But the space that you're in currently isn't a space that supports that right now. So you're going to have to be a little patient. Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that dream. Hold on to that concept, which is really hard to do, especially in the space of human space and lifetimes, which seems like so long when you're in the actual human experience. It's like, oh, how many times am I going to have to go through this whole thing of saying, look, here's the crop I want to plant. Damn it. Just receive the damn thing and let it grow. Like, what's wrong? There's nothing wrong. It's a timing thing. It's a balance thing. We're waiting for everybody to get on the platform so we can all get on the train at the same time to make that ride a little easier and a little smoother.
And more effective.
So, you know, we're coming into a time where the ground is more fertile. The season is here. The time to plant the seeds.
Well, the seeds have been planted.
Yeah, but I'm talking on that, you know, when you're having that particular visual, it's the timing is correct.
Yeah.
And by timing, I don't mean earth timing. I don't mean linear time. I mean in dimensional space. Enough of the pieces have lined up at all the multiple levels in all the different spaces to where it actually looks unified. If you can distance yourself far enough away from the space.
It's like Star Trek chess. You know that see-through chessboard they have that has all the multi-levels? That's the game we're actually playing. We think we're playing regular chess, but we're playing Star Trek chess. And now we have enough pieces on the board that are in the correct alignment in order to support a win. And that's what we're all feeling. And it just right now, it really feels like it's around the corner. I'm sure take that with a grain of salt. I think something is around the corner. I definitely think that we're being set up for a large event, but I don't know what that looks like. And I haven't really delved into it because I'm just trying to navigate what I'm navigating right now.
Sure. And I think that's the most important thing is to know that whatever it is, it's going to happen. You will be fine. Everything is going to be fine. You will still be able to navigate whatever it is, even if it feels or seems scary. Just in the last decade, we've navigated a whole lot of scary. A whole lot of things that we thought, wow, this will break us. If anything is going to break us, this is going to break us. And we're still here. And yes, some people chose for that particular space to be the space where they got off the train and started an experience somewhere else in another plane. And that's a decision that you can make. But I feel like the less power that we give this thought of scary outcome of, oh, this really big thing is going to happen. I don't know what it is yet, but this really big thing is going to happen. And that's it. Everything's going to collapse and it's going to be awful. And we're going to be, you know.
Or everything's going to rise and it's going to be, neither are true.
There is space for more balance. Of that, I am certain.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I can feel it. Mm-hmm. I can feel it in my physical being, I can feel it in my external spaces. There is more opportunity for harmonizing of frequencies on all levels from all manner of objects and energies. There's just more of a space to come together. There's more of a even playing field, an even space for us to all step on. And I think naturally that creates situations where more of those types of things will take place. Is it always going to look pretty and perfect? No, because our idea of perfect is created from from things that are external of our actual reality. They are manipulations of the actual reality, which is that there are, you know, any number of differing opportunities that can weed themselves in to a space and an experience at any one time. So there's always an opportunity for a shift and a change. Always, always. So that's why it's great to release expectation whenever possible, because it can look better than you expected to. It can look worse than you expected to. If you remain neutral, it's cool. That's a thing that happened.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But there is just more of a feeling now of, wow, we're finally coming into a place where everything is kind of sticking its head up above the water finally, like, and everything has an opportunity to breathe at the same time. So take advantage of that. If that means, you know, making a change and doing something different, or, you know, exploring something new that's kind of been on the back burner, or that's been in the back of your mind, or something like, oh, I don't know that I can do that. Or I don't know if that thing is possible, but man, it would really be great if, or it would really be fun if, or I'd really like to see how this works out. Start actually, you know, seriously seeding those seeds of, okay, well, one step in front of the other, you know, one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. How do I make my world actually look like that? Now is when we do that. And some of that is by coming together, finding like-minded people, finding people who are talking about the same things or have the same perspective, and not necessarily weeding out or shunning those who have something that's different, but finding where you align and then trying to figure out, now, how can I get that to coexist smoothly with this other perspective over here? Because although that's really different from what I see or how I see it, they also have a particular level of passion. And I want to find out what that passion's about. Like, what is the basis for that? And where can we have a conversation about that? And where can we come to some sort of meeting or agreement of, maybe we don't completely agree with each other, but maybe we can find some things where we're like, okay, well, we would both like to experience this. And maybe we can find out a way where we can come together and create a space where we can both experience those things together. Even if there is another portion of us that doesn't want, well, I want this half of what that guy wants, but I don't want that other half of what that guy wants.
Well, that's fine. And again,
where is there a space where that can exist?
Right. Well, and the space where the I don't wants can exist is, you don't need to concern yourself with it if it's something you don't want. I think that we've been overly focused with trying to control what we don't want in order to keep it out of our environment. And the truth of the matter is that if you spend 100% of your time wanting something, which most people can't even do. They can't even spend 1% of their time wanting. They're too afraid to want. If you can get to a point where the majority of your energy is flowing in the direction that you want, you will create a world that supports that want. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that in order for this to work. And that's where it gets tricky, because people are too afraid to believe that, because if they believe that, they might be leaving themselves blind to something they don't want taking over. That's the narrative that we're battling right now. And it's the only way out is through. There's no easier way to do it. You either have to agree to want and want so much that that's all you can see. And that allows you to take the people who have disagreeing points of view with you, and it allows you to see them and say, oh, this person has this to offer. The rest of the stuff doesn't suit me. He can or she can go wherever they go with that. But for my purposes, this part of them is a beautiful, gifted tool to me. And I want to see if I can use that. That's how you navigate.
And interact with that.
Yeah.
And grow that. Expand that particular, whatever it is that, like, wherever that point is that you meet on, see if you can continue to grow and expand that. It's like going to a concert. You have no idea who you are going to be sitting next to. All you know is that I like this artist that I'm going to see, and that person next to me must like this artist that we're going to see, because obviously we're here together. We're here to see the same thing. We both paid for this. So this is what we wanted to experience. And when you see somebody else pop up and get out of their seat and start moving or singing to that song that you like, it's like immediately it's like, ah, there's commonality there. We're in the same frequency. There is no better place to experience how people connect when they're in the same pocket of frequency than to go to a concert and look around and watch everybody swaying with their little lighters out and humming all to the same resonance, the same frequency, the same tune. That has nothing to do with all the other aspects of that individual. You are just focusing on one aspect, and there might be another aspect. Hey, we showed up in the same t-shirt. We're wearing the same perfume. We got the same pairs of shoes on. They do their hair the same way. That's the same shade of lipstick. Whatever. You can pick out other little things that are like, oh, I can see another samesies, Their life could be completely different from yours. They may go back home to a space that couldn't be more different than yours. That's not important. What's important is what you do while you're in that space together. And the more opportunities you have to create those kind of spaces for yourself, the more alignment you will find in general, the more opportunities you will most likely have, because the universe will say, oh, that's awesome. Let's make more of those opportunities for these individuals. Let's create, then that's when you have, where's the fan page and the, I'm going to make little bracelets to hand out at the next concert. And we're going to, you're seeing all these little phenomenons happening in that world where people are really getting together and creating little communities. And those communities, although they might seem silly from a fully external, like outside of your regular 3D world type of, wow, that's kind of whatever. It's really important that they exist, because they're showing us how to create communities again in a very micro kind of way that we can then duplicate on a much larger, wider macro type scale. And it has everything to do with focusing on what we do have in common versus what we don't have in common.
Yeah.
And letting those things fall away.
Yeah.
Letting those things be. It's like, look, what you do outside of this space, not important to me. Only important to me what you're doing inside this space right here.
And it's literally what they're doing in that container. And the reason container is so important is because it enables you to visualize literally taking a container of an ingredient off a shelf. That's what you have to start realizing about other people, is that just because they are, they're a spice cabinet, essentially. And you may not like cumin, but you may love thyme. And they happen to have both those in their cabinet. So are you just going to not use thyme because cumin happens to be sitting next to it? No, you're going to grab the thyme, you're going to use it and enjoy it. And that's how we need to start seeing each other. We need to start seeing that, oh, this person has this, which I don't necessarily agree with, but they also have this, and that's really cool.
And it helps to soften those hard lines of separation. Maybe eventually what happens is there's more of a, look, I'm going to start incorporating more from all of the other, I'm seeing all of these different individuals, and these are a lot of different perspectives that I'm not used to being around. And maybe that scared me in the past, but because I know we have this one thing in common, maybe I'm willing to let them in a little bit more and educate them like they're educating me of the things that both make me happy and the things that scare me. And maybe together we can figure this whole thing out. And maybe eventually there's less things on the shelf that are filed under "these things scare me" and more things filed under "wow, that's something crazy that I didn't know that I really appreciate now." And you gotta create the space for those events to happen. And these little micro communities are how it happens.
Yeah.
You have to get a foot in the door somewhere. And then allow people to have a different perspective, or at least hold a different perspective about that individual. You know, well, that's not normally something that I would find acceptable, but I really like that person. And then that person, I find that acceptable. Now, does that have anything to do with, are they a good person or not? No, because it's people operate on the level of where they're at in that moment. And you kind of have to meet people where they are in the moment. That's all you have. And you have to understand that wherever they're at, it can change. But it's not going to change if you don't kind of open the door a little bit and let a little bit of your own light shine into that space so that they can experience it and even see if that's something that they want to change in themselves. There's always the opportunity for growth, and that's growth. But if we are unwilling to ever step a toe into an environment that is different from our own, there is no growth. There is no expansion. It doesn't happen. And it doesn't mean that you need to like chuck it all and say, well, I guess I'll just all in on something that I'm not comfortable with. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you just have to give the opportunity for two things that seem different to coexist in the same space and focus on the things that are equal and resonate and let the other things fall aside for a time. And then see if that changes. That's all I got.
Cool. Then we did the thing.
Did we do the thing?
We did the thing for an hour and a half. I have no idea
the thing. Yeah, I have no idea if the thing is actually what we set out to do, but it's what we did.
It is absolutely not what I set out to do, but I received the clear message. I was not supposed to do what I set out to do. So I have to imagine it's exactly what it needs to be. Again, it is what it is.
And there's always more opportunities.
Yes.
So
yes. We will be back in 2 weeks to do another thing that we might or might not do.
There you go.
If you have questions, all right, feel free to send them our way, social media, email, whatever you want to do. Ask us questions, because when you ask us questions, it gives us direction. Otherwise, hopefully we will see you at one of our Discord meetups that happen every week we drop a show. So we will be having one this week on Saturday. I don't know the date, and I'm not about to go look it up because my brain can't handle more than two things at the same, more than one thing at the same time.
The 6th. It'll be April the 6th.
Good. Glad you know, because I do not.
Yeah. All right, folks. We will catch you later. Bye.